In the song Breathe 2 AM by Anna Nalick, she wrote the lyric, "Cause these words are my diary screaming out loud, and I know that you'll use them however you want to." How often is that true? How often do we take words out of context or words from a song and try to apply them to our own lives? That's just what we do. We try to take bits and pieces from what we learn in life and try to make sense of this thing called life. And so we listen to so many sources and bits of popular media. And granted, there is some wisdom outside of the scriptures. Even the early Christian fathers would agree to this. In fact, one of them, by the name of Justin Martyr, who was an apologist, not somebody that apologizes for things, but explains the Christian faith, Justin Martyr reflected on the universal presence of God's wisdom. He wrote this, "Whatever things were rightly said among all men are the property of us Christians." Justin's attitudes reflect a long-standing approach to wisdom in ancient Israel, in Judaism, and in Christianity. It emphasizes, that whatever is true belongs to God's people. So wisdom can be found outside of the scriptures, but it may also be that some of that wisdom outside of the scripture has to be adapted to fit the scriptures. But while we might take a song lyric and adapt it to fit the scriptures, we don't take the scriptures to adapt to the culture, to popular media, or to song lyrics. We don't do that. As the article continues, biblical wisdom is different from that of other cultures and religions because it emphasizes one God as the source of all knowledge and understanding. It focuses on right and wrong and is fulfilled in Christ, our righteousness. While we may be able to adapt song lyrics to the truth found in our Savior Jesus Christ, we do not adapt the scriptures to popular culture. We don't come up with our own truth because we don't have it. As it says in the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only God has wisdom. So we'll keep this in mind as we explore our epistle text from today from 1 Peter chapter 2. Or 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter begins this section writing, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." Peter reminds his brothers and sisters to whom he was writing that what they were saying, what he and the other apostles and Paul were writing and speaking to them, was not made up by themselves or by others, but was the very word of God. He referred his hearers back to the events of the Transfiguration, our gospel text, how he was there when God spoke from heaven about his Son, Jesus Christ. Peter and James and John were each there. They heard God honor Jesus by publicly acknowledging him as his Son. And they also saw the glory of Jesus in his full divine power there on the Mount of Transfiguration, his full divine power and his divine nature. Today, many still call the events of the scriptures myths or made-up stories. In some cases, they forget that Peter and James and John were actually there and saw what had happened. In other cases, they don't forget, they just do not fully grasp that these men were speaking from what they had seen and heard, not just making things up. Yet it is not enough for salvation to just hear the truth. They were most certainly telling the truth, these apostles and Peter, just as preachers today, when they speak about the accounts of Scripture as being true accounts, historical fact, they are correct. It is true. It is history. But that is not enough for salvation. It takes more than that to save you. Anyone could tell you how the United States was formed or that George Washington was the first president. They would be telling the truth, but that would not save you. It takes something more, as Peter indicates with his next words. We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Peter and the apostles and Paul were proclaiming the truth in their ministries. But if they were telling it like any other account of history, they would be nothing more than guides in a museum, telling you history, telling you what took place previous times. No, the word that Peter and the others were spreading had meaning because of the prophetic word, because of the Old Testament promises that God had made concerning Jesus who was to come. His life affects us today, and the scriptures gave meaning to everything Jesus had done, and they still do. Even today, the church would be nothing more than a museum if it were not for the prophecies of the Old Testament, which validated and gave meaning to everything Jesus did in his earthly ministry. His life affects us today because God had promised to send someone to save us from our sins, and Jesus fulfilled those promises. Jesus fulfilled every single one of them in his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus would go on from the Mount of Transfiguration. He would go in to that holy week, that last week of his life, and even his death, as we're going to start hearing about with Ash Wednesday this Wednesday. Jesus continued to fulfill prophecies all the way up to and during his death on the cross. In the Old Testament, God had promised to send a Savior, and in his death, Jesus saved you from your sins. If we were to begin picking and choosing parts of the Old Testament, we would miss out on the fullness of just what Jesus did for us in his life, and especially his death on the cross of Calvary. But what is more, as Peter points out, we would be picking and choosing from God's word, not just the words of mere men. Peter records the conclusion of God's thought, writing, "Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." In contrast to what the false prophets and false teachers of Peter's own time were saying, what they were speaking was the truth of God's word. They were not writing their own interpretations of their own times, but were inspired by the Holy Spirit, that is, God himself. They wrote law and gospel, not peace in times of danger, but also not condemnation when Jesus had paid the price. In the next chapter, Peter would refer to how this had been taking place since previous times, writing about false prophets who had arisen among the people, just as there would be false teachers among you. That is to those brothers and sisters to whom he was writing, as well as to you, dear friends in Christ. Even in Moses' time, there had been false prophets. God has to warn the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. Later, there were other false prophets in the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah. These false prophets were claiming peace, peace, when there was no peace, as we find recorded in the second half of Jeremiah 6, verse 14. In Peter's day, then, we still have more false teachers and false prophets. There were the Gnostics, those claiming to have a knowledge other than what the apostles and Peter and Paul were speaking from God's truth. They claimed to have a direct line to God the Father, and that what the apostles and Paul and Peter were saying wasn't enough. And just a couple weeks ago, or last weekend, I can't remember which one it was, but we heard about those quote-unquote super apostles who were claiming the same thing, to have knowledge of God apart from what the apostles Peter and Paul were speaking. Today, God's warnings still have effect for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The word of God doesn't come from the will of man, and there are still false teachers today. Be on guard against those who claim peace when there is no peace. And at the same time, note that the scriptures were written by men who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was and is those men who carry God's word, who bring you the proclamation of Jesus, the Son of God who was transfigured, who died on the cross and was raised again for you. They speak these words in both law and gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.